Welcome to Put This On, Season 5, Episode 22, where we watch Supermarket Sweep, Episode 1001, and Supermarket Sweep 2020, Season 1, Episode 1. I'm Chris Lorenz.
This is Brian.
Robert Kitts.
Noah Singer.
Welcome. If this is your first time joining us, we do a different reality show each week by watching about one episode each, going over in each minute minutia about how bad or good the show is. So, Rob, why don't you tell us what show we were watching this week?
Watched Supermarket Sweep, show description on ABC.com. The classic TV game show, Supermarket Sweep, hosted and executive produced by Emmy Award-nominated comedian and actress Leslie Jones, is a fast-paced and energetic series following three teams of two as they battle it out using their grocery shopping skills and knowledge of merchandise to win big cash prizes. The original format aired on ABC from 1965 to 1967 and went on to become a global sensation, including runs in the 1990s and early 2000s. It was adopted in 13 international territories and most recently also relaunched in the UK. That's Supermarket Sweep on ABC.
Holy crap.
Thank you, Rob. You did a great job there.
Thank you.
So yeah, I mean, everyone's kind of seen this. This was the one on Netflix is 1990s, right?
I think so.
It looks very 90s.
It said 1993.
Okay. So the 1965 version, I never even seen that. I didn't know it started then.
Probably in black and white, right?
Probably. It's around the time that they would have switched around. But anyway, not important to the episodes we watched. So we watched the old one and the new one. And I blame Noah for bringing this idea up because he was like, oh, we could do this. And I love this old and new comparison.
It's fun.
We did it for the like Sister Wives. I'd highly recommend that podcast. It's pretty good. But in reality, this is a game show and we don't really do game shows mainly because there's not a whole lot to talk about. So this will probably go like an hour and a half. So every time I say that, it always goes long.
That always dooms us.
It does. So let's just go over essentially what happens. They have a host. They introduce three teams. They do various like puzzles and answering trivia questions to gain time. Then they do a sweep through the grocery store trying to get as much monetary value from the grocery store as possible. The winning team then gets to go through the grocery store, find certain items via riddle, and if they find a certain amount, they win a certain amount of money. And the 1995 version is the same exact thing as the 2020 version. They changed literally nothing. It is the, like, some of the puzzles are different. Some of the trivias are different, which we can get over the minutia of, but essentially they're the same thing.
Yeah, I would say they change literally nothing. Like, I think that's above minutia that they changed nothing.
I mean, the host changes the tone quite a bit. But yeah. Other than that, like, just because you change some of the trivia around doesn't mean, like, you, like, yes, you've changed it, but it's not, like, a significant change at all.
For a reboot, it's shockingly similar. Like it is very close to the original one.
Like, I just gave you a description of what happened and you could use that description for both.
Totally. Yeah. The show structure is exactly the same.
I think that like for all these like game show, like reboots, they're trying to keep it like very authentic with like the old one.
I mean, I guess,
yeah,
I could see that you want to keep it that way, but at the end of the day, like, why don't we just watch the old ones? Like, what's the difference?
But now there's like cooler stuff in there.
Well, to be fair, we have watched lots of YouTube videos of Steve Harvey hosting Family Feud when other people hosted Family Feud, and so the new host can really really bring a new dimension to it.
That's fair.
Is there anybody new doing Family Feud? Because I thought it was still Steve Harvey.
It's still Steve Harvey, but Steve Harvey's like the eighth host of Family Feud. Oh. Like if you go back to the 70s, it was Richard Dawkins, I think his name was. And then when there was the guy in the 90s, whose name I don't remember, Seinfeld. But like that's the guy I remember watching the first time. So
the guy from Seinfeld did it for a while.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mr. Peterman did it.
Yeah, Elaine's boss.
Yeah, Mr. Peterman.
John George O'Hurley Jr.
Just call Mr. Peterman, Noah.
All right, well, let's get into the hosts a little bit. Let's compare these two hosts. So you got, in the new one, Leslie Jones. And in the old one, I don't know what the fuck his name is. I didn't write it down.
I'll go to the corner for you, Chris.
Yeah, well, yeah. Let us know.
It's like, David Ruprecht and Bill Malone. Those are two hosts.
There were two hosts? Well, one was the Jeopardy announcer, right? Like, that's different.
Yeah, it's Johnny Gilbert was the... So that was interesting. Like, the show in the 90s version, they had a host, but then they had to, like, have the announcer come in and handle half the duties for reasons I don't really understand.
Yeah. So
because the Jeopardy guy didn't want to be the host. He just wanted to be the guy, not on camera.
Yeah.
Anyway, David Ruprecht. Yeah, we got it. So like the first guy in the 90s has like the personality of like toast. He's just fucking nothing burger. Am I right, Brian?
Yeah. Like you could like replace him with just about anybody and it's gonna be anything better.
Like anyone with any sort of personality. Like he's like, but from like, we'll have to get into this in a little bit, from like making the show about the products, he's pretty good. Like it's all about the products. Like he just fades away.
He made that quiche. Like they had to be making so much fucking money from this thing.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean the host's making that much money.
I don't know. I think that like you got to have a good host in order to like bring in the endorsements.
Yeah, well they didn't. So then we get Leslie Jones here. She's pretty funny. She's making jokes. Like I think she has a really hard job. Like freaking making jokes during this stupid show is like impossible.
She was crushing it though.
It's so hard.
Leslie Jones is amazing. Like she says whatever she puts her hands on.
It's just like you've got these like six contestants, which are all essentially nothing burgers. Like they might have a slightly personalities that you can kind of clash with, but like they're not there to be entertaining. They're there to win money. They're not trying to like, they don't have to, right? Like,
I mean, some of them do have a personality. Team Color Greens has a personality.
Yeah. Yeah. And Team Biscuit.
Yeah. But that's how Leslie Jones can like key off people. That's why she can be funny.
Yeah.
I would say the contestants are very optimistic. Like they're very like open-minded and friendly. You know, like if they lose, they have a big smile on their face when they lose.
Well, because they just won a couple grand for doing nothing.
Mm. Yeah, maybe that's why.
I assume they win the money for their value of their goods at the end. I mean, why not when you're giving away $100,000 in this stupid thing? All right, we'll have to get into that. Anything else we want to say about Leslie Jones other than she was pretty funny? All right.
We need to get her to play the game. She said she wanted to do it all. She watched every episode.
She'll be in the celebrity one. All right, let's go to the contestants. Let's start with the 1995 version of the game. We've got Sarah and April, Yong and Kimberly, Shannon and Linda. And I thought when they introduced all these people, it was semi-sexist.
Yes, like very.
Shannon and Linda, they introduced them, and they were like, what do your husbands do?
Yeah.
What? Oh. What do you do? I don't give a fuck what your husbands do. Like, well, what is this garbage?
It was real bad.
And they didn't even talk. So the married couple, Zhang and whatever, they didn't even really talk to them. Like, talk to the woman at all.
Yeah, they're like, oh, well, they barely spend time then. They're like, oh, you both work in, like, accounting? Let's move on.
Well, the first one was moving. Like, you don't know anything about these people, realistically. So, I mean, that's what I kind of liked. I liked that. It was just moving.
It was, like, a diversity of contestants, though. You know, they had, like, friends, a couple, and then college roommates who were actually in college at the time. So, like, it wasn't, like, too cookie-cutter when it comes to that selection.
No. So, in the new one, let's see. They have team names. So we got the team names. We got Team Sugar, Team Biscuits, and Team Wings. Team Wings might have been the least personality of any game show contestant I've
ever seen. Actively rooted against them.
So bad.
Who is a bigger nothing burger, the host from the 90s or Team Wings?
The host.
The host, for sure.
The one dude was like so pumped up to play the game, and it was just like so... like, I don't know why you have to be like a douche for this game. It's just Supermarket Sweep.
One of the Team Wings, when they were doing some trivia, would be in the background like, I know it. Oh, I can't hit the button. Oh, hit the button. And I thought that was funny. But like, the reason we say that is like Leslie Jones kind of treated them like nothing burgers too. It wasn't just like they were nothing burgers. It was like Leslie was like really chummy with what was the team name? A Biscuits?
Team Wings?
Biscuits. Yeah, yeah. Like, because they were black and they were just like making some like nice racist jokes. I don't know, racist, whatever.
I also noticed.
I don't know what I can say in that category, so I'm just going to leave it there.
So I was going to say that like she was also pretty chummy with Team Collard Greens. Really, real affinity for Southern food right there.
Yeah, let's go with Southern affinity right now. Then the second half of the 2020 episode, we had Team Bagel, Team Tangerine, and Team Collard Greens. Who is Team Tangerine? Were they even in this episode?
They were.
That was Chris and his wife.
Oh, okay. Yeah, now I remember.
I'm trying to remember Team Bagel right now. I think they are Bagel.
Team Bagel were the colleagues that worked at the fashion store on Melrose Avenue. They worked at the jeans store.
You're still
not getting me on that one. All right. Those are contestants. Some were good. You got Collard Greens with Mama. And
her name tag actually said Mama.
Yeah, that was the only, that was kind of interesting. And you've got Team Biscuit, which is fun. You got Team Wings, which is nobody. And Team Bagel, nobody. Yeah, so then we go into some games. Brian, do you know what the games are called?
No.
I mean, we got some, like, we got the Sweep Right, which was their virtual dating app, which was a nice little touch.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Sweep Right was a good one.
All right.
I don't remember the names of these because like they are all sound the same.
All right. So in the 1995 version and the 2000 version, they have this thing where you would have to guess what a product was and then run into the store and get it and bring it back to you. And then you'd gain like a certain number of seconds and money. The only thing in the beginning where you get money, which was kind of like, he's really sticking to the same formula here. The same game that's first is always first in 1995 and in 2000 to 2020.
It's just like an exercise warm up. They make you run around the supermarket and then you're all like limber and you're not going to pull a hammy.
So like one of the very minor differences is in the 95 version, one team goes and searches for the thing. And the 2020 version is a free-for-all. And then they literally had a slow-mo of someone reaching over someone else's arm to grab the thing. So,
Put it on the highlight reel.
I'm really waiting for somebody to get stiff-armed.
I mean, yeah. It definitely looked like somebody pulled some bows there.
She said she threw some bows.
Elbows and knees, right, Brian, right?
Yeah.
I'm doing nothing, ref. So then they kind of do like these like... let's see. There was some sort of bonus. You had to pick which thing was over $3. Like, no one gives a fuck. Like,
yeah. Well, there's a deep minutia there. Honeycomb cereal was one of the items. Yeah. And they had Penny Hardaway as the the influencer.
Who?
On the box.
Who's Penny Hardaway?
that's why it's kind of cool. So Penny Hardaway was a pretty famous basketball player in the day, and like he was doing a bunch of commercials. He's a pretty famous Nike commercial where it's like Little Penny. Yeah, he's like he wasn't like the top player, but he's definitely like in the top 10, you know? So it was a cool little throwback.
Thank you for 30-year-old basketball update from Noah Singer.
Yeah, it's pretty useful stuff. Penny Hardaway, he's a man.
Let's see. What else did I write down? So then they like usually in the first one they had like three people left and they answered trivia. Yeah. And then they came back weirdly, like, why? This isn't like the dating game. Why are they swapping people out?
They also like go fully off screen so that like nobody can cheat.
Gee, what? Like, what is this?
So I remember that, like, this part they were like doing like rhymes and like they would do like the first half and then the second half would have the last part missing and then you have to rhyme it with the thing. Why don't they bring in like professional rappers? Drop some sick beats.
Because it's 1993.
No, I was talking about like the 2020. Like, why don't they just do it?
I don't know what the 20. Yeah. We didn't move on to the 2021 yet, Brian. Talk about the 1993 version of the games right now. They're all boring. Whatever. People end up the end with like, you're just guessing fucking products. Like, that's the whole game. Every single one of these things you guess a product.
No, these are advertising. Pure advertising.
This show is just like product placement, the TV show. Like, it's
I guess we can get into that. Like, the show is like every product must pay, I'm assuming, to be one of the answers or questions in this game show.
Okay. So there was one like Peter Pan peanut butter. I remembered that from back in the day, but I forgot that that was a thing. This is totally going to revive their brand.
You think so?
No.
The 20 people that have watched this, they're going to go by.
I don't know, dude. Yeah. My girlfriend was like, there's this new supermarket sweep on Hulu. And I was like, okay. So yeah.
I'm going to go against that brands are paying. The amount of coordination, and then it's like, there's kind of like a trade-off there where it's like, well, you want to use my brand on the air? There's like a fee you have to pay me because I own that brand versus paying for the exposure.
There's no way the brand isn't paying with the like prize money in 2020.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way 100 grand like they can in this show if the brands aren't paying. There's no ABC's like, not paying that much money for a half hour fucking show.
Even a show like The Price is Right. The brands are paying or donating stuff to be part of it. And this show is way more just a product placement fest than even The Price is Right is. The brands are definitely paying for this. And in the 90, I didn't notice in the 2021, in the 95 one, in the credits, it just at the end, it says the following companies paid for things on this. And it lists all the companies that we saw the brands from. So they're definitely paying.
Yeah. I don't think you bring the credits. This show versus some other random schmuck show, like, this is expensive. Like, in this, like, 20-minute, like, so the 2020 has two episodes combined into an hour show. They could lose, theoretically, like, 200 grand for that episode. Like, that's more, that's, like, on, that's so expensive on a reality show, game show basis. Like, it just, it's, like, 10, 15 times anything anyone else would be.
I'm surprised, like, on the 95 one, the most you win is $5,000. And on this one, they just drop, you might win $100,000.
Yeah, so let's talk about the supermarket sweep at the end. So, like, where you have to follow riddles and you go through and you get, like, three. In the 1995 version, you win $5,000 if you get three items with the riddles. But in the new one, if you get three, you win $25,000. And the option to go for $50,000 with added 20 seconds. And then if you find that one, then you get to choose if you want to go for $100,000 or not with an added, with doubling the time, unclear because they went from 17 seconds to 32 seconds.
15 more seconds. That's the most logical thing. Okay.
Thank you, Rob. I didn't hear what they said. So, like, that's like a lot of money. Like, what, Noah? Can you look up $5,000, 1993 to today?
Yeah.
It's not 100,000.
I was going, so I actually have an answer on the product placement piece. NPR did a full story on this five days ago. And basically it's like a mix of everything. Yes, brands are giving some product away for free or loaning them things. Yes, brands are paying, and those are like, you know how they had like the inflatable like Pepsi can, like stuff like that. Like they'll get like bigger time on the air. So it seems like very much like a range.
Oyster grills. I remember from one of them, and I was like, I had no idea that they made grills. That's got to be one of them, right?
I don't know.
$5,000 in 1993. Maybe Google has a good answer for this. Yeah, $5,000 in 1993 is equivalent to $9,000 today.
So, yeah, that's insane. I mean, it's still in prime time, I guess. So, I don't know. Well, we saw like one contestant won 50 grand and stopped. And then the other contestant didn't win anything. So, but I think that the majority of people are going to win 25 grand, right?
Gotta.
I hope so.
I don't know. From both halves of the 2020 episode and the 95 episode, we saw three people attempt it, and one of them made it past the second thing. So it seems like you have a less than 50% chance based on our sample size.
Yeah, I think you just got enough panic. Like, and I think a lot of people might panic.
I think this is so, like, to be real, I think this is hard. I think that, like, you don't know this grocery store. Like, I can't imagine you get a whole lot of time in this store before the show.
No,
or anytime.
You come in blind. Like, you want me to try to pull that stuff in the QFC? I can do that.
Yeah. But if you take me to a whole new grocery store,
no way.
With like eight aisles and three different sets of things in each aisle, like, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to know anything.
I can guarantee you my shopping time would be doubled, at least.
Yeah. That's.
But also, like, there are some similarities. Like, some things can kind of stay the same. Like, some things they know, like, go together, so, like, they'll put them together.
Yeah, but, like, the canned vegetables weren't near the canned fruit or the canned meat. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
So, like, whatever. I think it's harder. Do you think you could do it, Rob?
I think the key is you got to be paying attention during the early parts of the show to try to get your bearings of where things are.
Oh, yeah. That's a good call.
I mean, but you don't get – the only times you get in the store are in the first one where you can go find first clue puzzle thing.
Yeah.
And then in the sweep itself, that's it.
Yeah. The sweep itself – like, no, the – yeah, the sweep itself, that's the key. That, like, you can't, you got to throw all the turkeys in your cart, but at the same time, you also got to just survey the space.
So what's the point of the partner then? Because, like, only one person can do that. Like,
there's no point to the partner.
Like, one person does the sweep, so they're the only ones that really know anything about the store.
Yeah, you got it. They're supposed to carry the team. And they suck.
I mean, there's definitely in the last one we just watched where, like, the girl and mama were, like, just the mama was just, like, barely on the screen because she was so far behind. That was entertaining.
Yeah, I was surprised how much. What's up, Brian?
The cameraman stayed with her, too.
Like, yeah.
Nobody left behind.
Well, I mean, they have a camera person per each crew, so they have extra camera people around.
Fair.
Let's see. Would you go on the show, Brian?
Absolutely.
Do you think you'd win?
No.
Okay. No. What about you? Would you go on the show?
I'm going to go on pretty much any game show I get invited to.
Are you trying to get invited to game shows?
Not recently. I have in the past, but definitely with not a good effort. And what I think I do well, I'd give myself like decent confidence. Like I'm pretty good at these like quiz type of shows. So as long as I got to the round, I feel like I'd be good. I feel like there's a lot of strategy you got to plan for that sweet part, you know, which products you'll get.
See, that's where you and I are different. I would definitely just crack my knuckles and roll into the show. You're practicing.
Oh, yeah. They're running around your local grocery store, like acting a fool, like getting like your twists together, your turns, your pivots.
Your 4 a.m. grocery store practice. Rob, what about you? Would you go on the show?
I mean, if I got it, if someone said, hey, do you want to go on the show? Why not? But like, I wouldn't go out of my way to try to get on the show. The show seems dumb.
You're not sending in your tape?
No, I'm not saying my tape. So the other thing, we should talk about this. So on the 95 one, it implies of kind of like Price is Right thing at the start, where just everyone's in the audience.
Oh, yeah.
The randos out of the crowd. And it's like, is that true? Or is it just like, because I don't know. It seemed kind of weird.
I don't think that's true in the Price is Right either. So
I think it is true in the Price is Right.
Well, there's like a select group of people that can be on the show. It's not everyone in the audience.
I thought it was everyone in the audience.
Yeah, I thought it was everyone in the audience too.
Well, I have no idea. I thought
you just showed up, and then they're like, as you walk into the studio, they give you like a 10-second interview, and then they just like pick people they think are going to be good.
Oh, I had no idea. Actually, I was just making that up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, like the 1965, like around that time when they're making these things, it's like the Deal or No Deal, not Deal or No Deal. What's Let's Make a Deal kind of like time frame, which is like this is a very similar style game show.
I mean, Let's Make a Deal is around in 2020 also, I think.
Yeah. But like that has no bearing on like what's going on in 2020 has no bearing on the framework of the show because it's been the same fucking show for how like who knows how long. Could be since 1966. Could be 50 years.
Like one thing to put out there, like, have we ever seen a game show remake that really did overhaul it and just took like the name?
We saw Temptation Island kind of change.
That's not a game show.
Shh, Rob, shh. I don't know. I don't watch game shows, so I don't really know.
Like, I think that's the whole point of not changing it, right? It's like there's a game that has proven successful. So they're like, all right, don't fuck with the magic. Like, just update it. Give it a haircut.
There's been like new game shows, right? They definitely like sometimes will do some changes between when it goes from prime time to garbage time, but.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've watched, like, I know there are these other reboot game shows on TV. I don't know if I've watched any of them, so I don't know if I can actually compare. So maybe Noah's right that rebooted game shows are just exactly like the old game shows, and that's actually pretty normal.
No, yeah, I've seen a couple of them. I've seen
Let's Make a Deal.
Yeah, Let's Make a Deal. And then, like, there's the one, like, with, like, where you can't, like, whammy.
Oh,
press your luck.
Press your luck. Yeah,
should just be called Whammy, though.
Yeah, it's the mascot.
Yeah. Are we just like done talking about this show now? Like,
now we're gonna do the
questions? Why is it supposed to be entertaining to watch people put turkeys in their shopping carts?
Because so there's two things going on the show. On producing advertising part of the show, this is a great show. All about products, all about everything. And then the other side of the show is everyone goes grocery shopping and everyone can envision themselves in the show. They're like, oh, I need, what if I had to go to the store and get it, like, fill the most up with the most money? What would I get? Oh, it's the turkeys and the meats and all that stuff and planning out your own routes and what you would do. I think a lot of this is just feeding that kind of ego. Like, let me answer this stupid, simple question about, you know, giant peas. Like, I don't, who cares about giant peas? The fact that you can guess giant peas is like the whole reason why I think you'd want to watch the game.
Normally when I go to the grocery store, I want to spend as little money as possible while I get all the stuff I want. This show, it's like, just get random stuff, but make it as expensive as possible. It feels like the opposite of a normal supermarket experience.
Well, this is more for the daydreamers that are like, what if?
But here's the thing, Rob. Every time you go to the supermarket, you're also trying to spend as little time in there as possible. So you got to know where everything is and you got to speed around.
So you're more at the end game there, Rob. You're like, ooh, I need Raid. Let's go get Raid. Oh, shit. Now I need peanut butter. Oh, shit. Now I need fudge brownies. Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
I think
the end game feels more like me at the grocery store.
I think Rob just
from one end to the other because I don't know where anything is. Yeah.
You're just running. I think you, though, are alluding to a different reality show called Extreme Couponing.
Ooh.
Oh.
Where you are trying to get the biggest bang for your buck.
Yeah, when I set the buck prices, it doesn't really matter.
Did we ever do extreme couponing on the pod?
No. We did extreme unboxing, though.
Oh, God.
I mean, Noah, yeah, you should have suggested we do that instead of this today.
Yeah, extreme couponing was like a big fad in like 2011. Like, people were really into it.
Extreme couponing has been a thing forever since there have been couponing.
I used to work
at a grocery store, and people would come in with like $200+ worth of food and have like coupons to get it down to like $5.
That's awesome.
Well, we could talk about that if we ever do extreme couponing.
Yeah.
All right. Ready for questions? Ready? Are we ready to go? Let's do it. Who's the worst human being in this show?
In this show.
First host, maybe?
Team Wings.
Team Wings. That's right.
I don't really have an answer for this. Everyone's just such a nothing burger that there's just like, yeah, I couldn't tell you who's better, who's worse.
Team Wings.
I didn't think of it till Brian said it. As soon as Brian said it, it's the right answer. It's Team Wings.
All right.
It's
probably Team Wings, but the flower guy. Taking his sweet ass time.
Oh, the flower guy.
Getting those flowers.
What about the security guy?
Neil. Security guard Neil.
What's
with the bad
point
jokes.
Of the security guy? Do we got to explain the security guy?
Oh, God.
I don't.
And there's the price checker, like the guy in the line.
So 2020 added these like little bit parts where like when they first introduce all the people, a security guard comes out. And then when you're going around the supermarket sweep, there's like bonuses where like if you get these flowers, somebody hands you the flowers and they're doing some sort of bit. I don't know. Some of this was, they do seem to coffee. And there's usually a teller at the end. I don't think that's new to the 2020 version. But the fact that he is a bit and a character is probably new. Probably one of Leslie's decisions. Like, I can't be on the show like 80% of the time and provide 80%, like 100% of the entertainment. I need to like play off some people. And so that's why they're there. They're just like some flavor. It's like some salt.
I think the security guard was totally useless. I
agree with you, Rob. I don't think he did anything.
You should have been cut.
If this was like, if you're looking at a movie and you're like, ooh, is this a 180-minute movie? Like, just cut this guy out.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to go down to 100 minutes. You can just cut them all out. Get him out of there. Let's go to our next question. Is this the apex or downgrade for the hosts? Let's start with let's do Leslie Jones because that's the one I think we actually can talk about. I don't know. I think this might be an upgrade for her.
It's like it's not the apex, but like I honestly don't know what she's been doing the last 3 years. So
like, I think it's one thing when you are the executive producer of your own show. That's an upgrade. And for a lot of people. Like if she's trying to be in movies, I don't know, but like in terms of her TV career, there isn't that much better than producing your own show. Like,
I mean, you could produce a good show. That'd be better.
I mean, I agree with you, but like on the level of like, okay, if this does well, this could be her show for like the next 30 years or however long that it's going to be.
I'm going to go on a limb and say it's not going to be a show for 30 years. That's my bold prediction.
You could have said the same thing about Survivor. It's going on for 20 years.
I think it's a downgrade. If it's not a downgrade, I think Leslie Jones's career is close to being done.
Brian, what do you think?
I think a downgrade. I mean, I think Ghostbusters was better than this.
I mean, yeah, I mean, collectively, it's a better thing, but is it better for her career?
Yes. No, sorry. No, this is not better for her career. Like, the movie is better for her career.
No, what do you think?
Definitely not the apex for Leslie Jones, because she's incredible. Like, people are still going to hire her for stuff. I think getting your own show, no matter how piss poor the show is, like Ken Jeong, it's an upgrade. You're getting your own show. And people really aren't going to look past that, because she's not actually a producer of the show. You know, she's the talent, and if there's any saving grace of the show, it's Leslie Jones.
Mm-hmm. What's the most baffling / cringeworthy moment in this? One we already talked about was the sexism in the first one. That was pretty cringy. Brian, you got one?
Team Wang's just like hanging out and getting real amped up over this goddamn game show. Like, you need to calm down.
Can you like give me more of a visual on this one?
Oh, come on. Let me answer.
Noah, you got one?
Yeah, I think for real cringe, it's whenever security guard Neil comes out. That joke, though, was pretty good. You know, Motown is not a place you go buy a lawnmower.
Rob, you got one?
This isn't cringeworthy, but just in terms of baffling, like when they do the sweep, there's a thing to pick up like these inflatable things with prizes. And in the finals one we saw, they grabbed it and would sort of take it back to their base and then could go and continue their shopping. But the first 2021, they're just running around but trying to carry these giant inflatable things with them everywhere, and it's like slowing them down so much. It's like, what are you doing? Like, you're being an idiot. What? I don't understand the strategy here.
I've got a baffling / cringeworthy moment. So there's a part where one of the teams has to guess a Nature Valley, and the one person was just like, "Nacho, I can't even do it anymore. Nature Valley or something."
Nader Bar.
It was like a Nader Bar.
Nader Bar. That's right.
That Nader Bar. And so it was just really weird. And then the other team was just like, Nature Valley.
That was fucking with Team Wings, though.
That was the
why
was
you
the
hate on team
Wings.
This, they're just fucking people, Brian. Leave them alone.
No. Down with Team Wings.
All right. What's your favorite minor minutia, Brian?
Ooh. Can you give me a second?
No, because I don't have mine. I feel like the minor minutias I have in this set are just like products. So many products. Just like,
I got one.
All right,
so,
Brian.
So for the shopping list, Leslie said like it was going to be a love night. So it included like a scented candle and a cucumber. And she said, don't ask.
That was pretty good. No, you got one?
I did like the scented candle, spatula, and cucumber. That was very clever. I have two of them. One, I referenced Penny Hardaway on the Honeycomb cereal box, which is so great for anyone that's familiar with the Penny Hardaway Nike ads. Yeah, because those are classics. Probably my favorite, though, in the old version, the theme music was like a 16-bit video game sounding theme song, which was so fun to listen to.
Rob, you got one?
I had it and I lost it.
I got some. What do you think? So in the 1993 one, they come out of the break for the supermarket sweep and they're like, just kidding, guys. You said toast. You said toaster instead of toast. And you just lost 30 seconds. You're like, what? What is this toast thing? I don't remember any of this toast question.
That's complete bullshit. Like, you basically got 30 seconds for that game, I think. So they just completely null and voided it because the hosts fucked up.
This is the Bruce? But they corrected it. It's not like afterwards. Remember, like, what if you were the other teams and they won? And you were like, they said toast! Said toasted! Ah!
Now you just do a little penalty then.
A little penalty. What was funny in the new one, they did a word scramble. So you had to rearrange the letters to make a name. And the correct answer was breath mints, plural. But they said breath mint. And they gave them the answer. Like, they allowed them to go when it's like a very specific word spelling. I couldn't believe that.
The game went to shit.
I think it's okay, Noah. I think it's okay.
I'm going to write to the editor.
No, there's a lot of questionable judgment calls because they're trying to guess mascots, and someone said the Lucky Charms elf. And they're like, no, that's not right. You have to say it's Lucky. And then they're like, the hamburger helper hand. They're like, yeah, that's right, a.k.a. Lefty. And it's like, what?
There's some sort of Cheeto. Oh, there was another one.
This is Chester Cheeto. It's Chester Cheetah.
Yeah, they're like Nesquik Bunny, the rabbit. And they're like, yeah, of course, you got it.
I would have been so bad at those games. I wouldn't have known any of them.
What's the thing? I knew all the products. I didn't know the names of the mascots. So if you'd let me say Lucky Charms Elf, I would have gotten it. But if you're like, no, you got to say it's Lucky. Like, oh, I don't remember his name is Lucky.
That was weird. I feel like they must have backtracked on that because, like, no one knew.
Yeah.
Like, who the hell? Like, Brian said it was Lucky, and he, like, tried to backpedal like he didn't know his name was Lucky.
And I said it was the Lucky Charms dude.
No, you said Lucky. And, like, who the hell would know that? No one knows that.
No.
When was the last time you read the back of a cereal box, Brian?
I know. I can never remember that. Like, why would I ever do that?
I don't remember his name ever being on the back of any of those either. Like, where else would you know that?
From the commercials. Like, you have to know from Chocula. The commercial.
Sorry.
Like, Count Dracula. Yeah, he's like pretty. I think they use. I don't think they use his name in the commercials. Do they?
I think so.
I bet there's some Lucky Charms commercials where there's like little kids trying to get his Lucky Charms. They're like, look, it's Lucky. And you're supposed to like know that somehow.
What about the hamburger helper?
Yeah, that one I got no clue. No one's called that guy Lefty.
Lefty.
Noah, do you think you have to pay to get your mascot on this?
I would say that's definitely more in the territory of paying. I got to say, though, when they said that the leprechaun's name was Lucky, I was like, wait, is it called Lucky's Charms? Like, did I just not realize this all along? And no, it is Lucky Charms. It's not his.
Oh, I actually have a couple more.
But they're his Lucky Charms. They're very clear in the commercials. They're after his Lucky Charms.
They are, but it's not Lucky's Charms.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
All right, Rob, do you remember yours?
Yeah. In the 90s version, just the way they, when they're doing the sweep, the way they have like the announcer doing the play-by-play of how they're putting stuff in. They're like, oh, they're getting the honey. That's such a great call. And it's like, they're just putting food in their shopping cart. Like, this is so stupid.
Well, that's the show, Rob. They can't be like, this is a stupid show. Look at people put stuff in
like,
their cart.
In the 2020 version, like, Leslie Jones is describing what they're doing, but she's not trying to be like a play-by-play sports announcer, like breaking down she's not Tony Romo here trying to break down the plays. Like, she's just kind of describing what they're doing like a normal person.
Like, can we get Tony Romo on this to announce that?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, man. Guest. Would upgrade or downgrade for Tony Romo to go from NFL to sports?
Upgrade.
Oh, I got to say, Leslie Jones did throw one of the contestants on under the bus, the manager at the clothing store, because he threw like some candy boxes in his car, and she's like, candy? No. This guy went on.
There was something someone put in there, but I don't know what it was. Was it candy or something else? And she's like, that's only $14.
You got to throw the shade. If there was more shade in the show, I think it would be way better.
Yeah.
But it might be harder to find people that want to be on the show if you're throwing shade at a long time. I have two more minutias. Employee of the Week was a really weird segment where they just like went to this guy that like did something at his store where he like saved somebody at the store. And Leslie was like, yeah, we're going to our Employee of the Week. This is blah, 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 blah. I'm like, what? What the fuck? Like, what is such a non sequitur that I was just like, yeah, I guess that's a good thing. And then we're back to the show and moving on. And I'm like, all right.
So, like, they also showed the employee, like, waving. And his facial expression did not look like he wanted anything to do with this.
Yeah, he just wants to go back to work, guys. I think that's going to be a weird segment going forward. Maybe that's another thing. Maybe they'll just drop it. The last thing I have is, like, one of the questions or one of the games was, like, they would use a slogan, but Leslie Jones would put herself in the slogan. And that was, like, the best segment, I think, of all hour of the show we watched. I thought that was fun.
Yeah.
Let's get into drinking rules. We got some drinking rules for this one. Brian, what do you got for me?
Drink every time you see a dollar amount on the screen.
So when they show all three contestants, do we have to drink three times? Because there's...
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, shit, I forgot about that. I was just thinking, like, when they're listening, rattling off the prices. I'm like...
Rob, what do you got?
Drink every time there's a product placement.
So the whole show?
This is definitely the just drink the whole show drinking game rule.
I feel like that could make it really exciting, though.
Noah, what about you?
I'm trying to think of something that's not just like drink yourself to death.
You could do one of like you play along, and if you get it right, you drink, or you get it wrong, you drink.
I think here's the play along. You play along with the you guess. You get it right, you get to give out a drink. You get it wrong, you drink.
Mm.
That's good to watch with a group, yeah.
What can we do for like supermarket sweep? You could guess the monetary value, and if you win, you're the closest. You get to give out drinks, and if you got wrong, you'd take a drink, something like that.
That's a really good one.
Like if they win $100,000, everyone finishes their drink.
Well, yeah.
So some solid drinking rules right there. We should have done this after we watched the 1993 version.
And then done it for the Leslie Jones version?
Yeah.
That would make a very different podcast.
Well, I wouldn't be doing yours, Brian. That's for sure.
I'm going to drink every time to bring the security card in. I think it's like, oh, God.
I think anytime you bring in the bit part. Guy you gotta drink him.
Oh, like the flower guy too?
The flower guy, the checkout person, the barista.
Yeah.
Like Leslie Jones's bits are like pretty good. I want to cheers to that.
Oh, you can drink whatever you want, Brian. No one's preventing you from doing extra drinks.
Oh, fair.
All right. To our second favorite question. What do you think the production schedule is like?
The only question is how many of these are they getting through in a day? They're doing like Leslie Jones maybe filmed 80 of these and put in a week of work. Right?
You think so?
Yep.
I think that like maybe this is like a Saturday, like she comes in a couple weekends a month and they just bang it out on the weekend.
That's a lot of them. I think you're doing like 2 to 3 a
day. I mean,
day.
It depends on Leslie Jones's schedule, right?
Right.
Right. Like, I think they're doing these as many as possible in the shortest amount of time as possible. Because you have to set up that set over and over again, right? So you're trying to just bang them out, like, over a 2-3-week stretch.
No, dude, you just put the canopy over and you're good.
Like, how much resetting is there really need to do?
The whole like, set.
Yeah, after the supermarket sweep, they got to go through and take all the stuff they got off the shelves, put them back on the shelves. And that's not, like... That's not a lot of time.
Where do you see the...
It's the whole set. Like, what do you mean? They're on a sound stage. Like, they have to build that. Well, again, then they're holding that sound stage for that show.
It's not like, a sound stage. No, they're just at a grocery store.
Oh, right. Forgot.
I don't know. So you think that they just filmed, like, 2 weeks straight this whole season and it's over?
It's expensive to have a sound stage. You just, like, leave your setup there.
I don't know. I mean, they're growing. They're just throwing cash away in this episode, in this show. So, like, I like how we talk about it. We have no idea what the real schedules are. We really need to get an in to be like, what was the production schedule on this show?
Like for game shows, like so Jeopardy, I know films like 5 episodes a day.
Yeah, but they don't have a set that they have to reset.
It's true, but like I can't imagine why this show couldn't film five like 20-minute ones. So if Leslie Jones is doing two a day, maybe like, you know, they're doing three episodes, which is really six episodes. I gotta know, but
Noah, can I ask you to tweet at Leslie Jones and ask her the production schedule?
Noah, can you get Leslie Jones on this podcast?
That's a tall order. I mean, what we found success at finding is like the line level producers. I feel like that's a better opportunity of getting some deets rather than going for the A-list.
I don't know. I think that like she has enough of a personality. She'd be like, depending on how you put your message, she might be willing to be like, yo, you're cool. Let me answer this for you.
My Twitter following is not enough to be recognizable. I don't think I got that.
I believe in you, Noah.
Noah, there's no harm in trying.
There is no harm, but if we really want the answer, I'm going to go for the line level producer in addition.
All right. I'll expect an answer next week.
Follow up with me and tune all right. in next week if you want an answer.
So I guess second to last question is, what show inspired the show? Which I have absolutely no idea, because a show in 1965, God all knows what was before that.
I can tell you what show inspired the Leslie Jones version of the show.
So can I.
This show was inspired by the boring ass thing of shopping.
There you go.
Yeah, it was inspired by a trip to the grocery store.
Our last question and our favorite question. We do rankings, ratings. We do stack rankings. We do top, middle, bottom, third. So compared to other reality shows, which bucket do you put this into? Brian, where do you got it?
I'm going to go top of the bottom, because this show, as boring as it is, it's just side content TV, and you can kind of tune in and get excited. And then it's a giant commercial that makes you want to go out and get Kit Kats.
Ooh, Kit Kats? No, what do you got for me?
I'm the same as Brian. It's in the bottom, but top of the bottom. The reason why it's at the top of the bottom, because Leslie Jones. How do you not like Leslie Jones? But beyond that, I do think they have a lot to play with, and they just don't execute as well because they stay too close to the original.
So. Rob, what do you got for me?
This is definitely bottom third. Like, this show is so boring. Like, I can't imagine why I would want to go and just spend my time watching the show. Although you said, how does this compare to other reality shows? This is not a reality show. This is a game show. And it's also a bottom third game show. Watch Family Feud instead. It's way better.
Family Feud can also be pretty boring.
It's way better than this show.
I feel like I like the show more than everyone else. But I like to watch one 20-minute version of the show and then out. Like, it's like, if I'm just like, it's moving, it's semi-entertaining, I kind of want to guess, I want to see people succeed or fail. Like, it's not garbage, but it's not really good in any sense of the word of good. But the fact that the new one is like an hour really distracts from the whole, like, no one wants to sit and watch back-to-back versions of this fucking show. Like, that's just ridiculous. So for the fact that they made the new one an hour, it's in the bottom third. But I will give it a top of the bottom with you guys. But if it was just a 20-minute show, I think it's fine. Like, it's just meh. There's nothing really bad about it, but there's nothing really all that good about it. So that's where I stand. Rob, I need your shout out of the week, because I need to know who the twins were.
We don't know who the twins are yet. The twins weren't on the episode last week, but I told Chris this might have been my favorite random Masked Singer unmasking.
Oh, yeah. You did send me that, and then I decided not to look at it.
Yeah.
So we could have this special reveal on the podcast.
I don't know if Noah already knows. Brian definitely already knows. So the unmasked this week was the baby alien. which was a different kind of costume in that it was like a puppet, basically. Like someone was inside this thing, but they were working a puppet with like a hand and like using the mouth. And so there was guesses that it was like a puppet comedian or stuff like that. When the pub was being interviewed by Nick Cannon, the person inside was talking with like a European accent to try to disguise their voice. It would sound like Borat. So there's a guest that was Sacha Baron Cohen, which would have coincided with the new Borat movie coming out. Very topical. But like the problem was the singing part didn't sound at all like Sacha Baron Cohen. So I didn't think it'd be that. Turned out to be former NFL quarterback Mark Sanchez.
Oh.
The Sanchez was on the Masked Singer.
He was a former Eagles quarterback.
That's right.
That's pretty nuts.
I did not see that one coming.
Why do these like D-list celebrity shows think NFL players deserve a spot on any of them?
I mean,
do you guess random NFL players? Like, do you guess Jay Cutler is in the Masked Singer? Like,
oh, that'd be incredible. I'd be
like,
so
you
excited.
Don't like, you're like, I, oh like, yeah, I know Jay Cutler, but you would have never guessed Jay Cutler.
Last season, the first episode, Jamie Foxx said that guy's Gronk, and I was like, "Yep, he's right," and it was Gronk. So sometimes you guess the NFL player, and it's right.
I mean, there's just like a big pool for D-list celebrities if you're just included NFL players.
And like Ken Jeong is terrible at guessing, and I think somewhat on purpose. But like twice, he's randomly gotten these random athlete ones right. Like he guessed Victor Oladipo correctly. And in blank, the other one. But there's another one with an athlete where he guessed it correctly. So they're definitely guessing athletes for some of these things.
Are you still on the same like board thinking that the hosts do not know who they are?
I think the hosts don't know who they are. Nick Cannon probably does, but the judges don't.
I don't know. It was one of the questions in our original podcast around this.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it's unclear whether the show would be better or worse if they knew.
Totally.
Who and who not to guess.
But side note on Mark Sanchez getting unmasked is that I asked my wife, Emmy. So this guy is best known for something called the butt fumble. Do you know what that is? And Emmy said, no, I don't. So then we watched the butt fumble on YouTube like 8 times. And Emmy laughed very hard. And at one point she said, but why is he just running to that guy's butt? And I was like, I don't know.
NFL's a quick sport. Like, you slow-mo anything down in the NFL, you're like, how do you even do that? A lot of the times. Yeah. Thanks. You have anything else you want to shout out, Rob, while we're doing shout-outs?
Started watching The Last Dance, which was a big thing like 6 months ago. And so now we're watching that. So,
no, that's good. That's a good one.
Good choice.
There's a podcast on Audible that's like something around The Last Dance, and I'm excited to listen to it. Brian, what do you got for a shout out?
So I decided to dip back into Archer after skipping like all the stupid random subplots.
The dream seasons.
Yeah.
Or the coma seasons or something.
Man, this is actually pretty good now.
Now that they're back to actually being spies again?
Yeah.
Maybe. I feel like season 1 and 2 are so good that I like, it's been downhill since then.
For sure. But at the same time, like, this is a breath of fresh air. Like, this is legit good different.
Is it on Hulu now?
Yeah, it's on Hulu.
Or maybe. I think that was also part of the problem, was like, I didn't have a great way to watch it because it was on FX. Yeah. Noah, what's your shout out?
I don't know if I'm really liking the show, but it's okay. It's Bly Mansion on Netflix. It's a horror show. Tommy for Halloween. It's fine. If I were to give a shout out something I really enjoy, but not a show, it's a movie. Hubie. Hubie Halloween. That was very enjoyable.
Hubie Halloween?
Quibi, actually.
Okay, I got two things for you, Noah. Hubie Halloween was a good sit. But good, I don't know. Like, yeah, you know, if you're a little inebriated, it can be kind of fun. It's definitely some funny moments, but overall, it's probably one of the best Adam Sandler movies in a while, but just like, it's a good sit. And Bly Manor, I'm enjoying. It's a little slow. it's like Netflix slow. But once it starts like kicking in, you really want to know what's going on with the house and the mansion and the other people in the show. And I think the answers are pretty satisfying, but I still have a couple episodes left. So
yeah,
that could change.
I'm in the middle. Like, it's fine enough. And it's like, it fits the, I want to watch something spooky for Halloween.
That's fair. So my shout outs for the week. What's that? Lovecraft Country finished up last week. And that show kind of had some ups and downs. Like, there's definitely some good in there and there's definitely some bad in there. And I don't think they interweave as well as they want to. For like, it's a horror anthology-ish show, like an overarching plot where they kind of introduce new characters throughout and it all kind of accumulates into like a finale. So I can't really give it a wholehearted shout out, but like season one or episode one was great. Episode two, not so much. And the second thing is Star Trek Discovery. That's back. I watched the premiere. It was good. I'm excited. Like, we're now super far into the future, so we can stop playing these stupid prequel games that I hate. So onward and upward. And that's it for us this week on the pod. You can reach us on Twitter at Hoop of the Sun. You can find us on Facebook.com/Hoop of the Sun. You can ask questions and suggestions at HoopoftheSun@gmail.com. And next week, we'll probably watch some Halloween garbage. Halloween shows or theme shows tend to be fucking garbage. And maybe we'll be stuck in some house with some thermal camera again. Who knows?
The therm.
Can we get a thermal camera for this?
All right. We'll see you guys then. Give us your best sensual yoo-hoo for Sasquatch.
Soy un perdido. I'm a loser, what? Baby.
We wanted a sensual yoo-hoo, Noah, not a show tune.
I was following up from Brian.
Anyone going to give me their sensual yoo-hoo so we can start this podcast?
Yoo-hoo!
Okay. Thank you, Brian.
Good job, Brian.